FM with Laura Fox
podcast. Now, I'm going to say it. Schools are back. The evenings are closing in. There is no denying that summer is over. But the good thing is, there's loads of great films and telly waiting for us. And Brian Lloyd is here with his top tips. Brian, you're very welcome along.
Hi,
to
how
the
are
show.
You?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We've loads and loads and loads to go through. You're going to kick it off on a very nerdy note, but I'm just going to give everybody a listen to this first.
Sooner or later, Sauron's eye bores a hole. The rest of him slithers in.
You sought peace. I gave it to you. This is hardly a gift. What have you done to me?
What have you done to me?
Who are you, truly? I am the one keeping the storm at bay.
All right, Brian, as you can do very well, sell it to me. Lord of the Rings TV show. What's the draw with this?
Yeah, so it's The Rings of Power is the name of this. It's in its second season. This is Amazon's biggest production. They've set something aside like $2 billion.
Jesus.
Yes, $2 billion. Billion with a B. For this entire series. It's set like thousands of years before the film, so you're not going to see Ian McKellen in this. You're not going to see Viggo Mortensen or any of those gang, unfortunately. But they have got a great cast behind it. Kieran Hines joins this season. He plays this character called the Dark Wizard, who hasn't been named yet, but it's more than likely going to be Saruman. If you like fantasy, you like the kind of dark fantasy thing, if you like sword and sorcery and all that kind of jazz, this is for you. I would say the key difference between this and Game of Thrones is that where Game of Thrones was essentially trying to be Succession, but with swords and capes, this is very much in the old tradition of fantasy. It's a lot more poetic. It looks fantastic. Okay. If you even have a passing interest in, like, you know, production design or costuming or any of that kind of jazz, this is absolutely worth watching. The performances as well. I mean, I think it's very theatrical in how it goes about it. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, this second season, I think, is a vast improvement on the first season. There was a lot of controversy, though, because in the first season, there was this group of characters called the Harfoots, right? And they were essentially this very primitive version of the Hobbits, where, you know, you had Bilbo and Frodo Baggins. And I can just see your eyes glazing over.
No, I was about to say, I actually am interested in this. I can't do Game of Thrones. It's too violent for me.
Yeah, this is not violent. This is actually quite family friendly.
So then this is why I'm actually interested in this.
No, this is a lot more family friendly. To get back to it, the Harfoots, they were basically really, really bad Irish stereotypes.
Oh.
And, like, I mean, bad. You're talking like dirt in their faces, twigs and berries growing out of their hairs, and it was literally diddly eye fairy music whenever they came on screen.
God, okay.
Oh no, it was terrible. And, like, there were tons and tons of articles and discourse about it. I would say in this season they've just pretty much cut those characters out of a root and stem. There's only like two of them left in it.
Okay,
and
fab.
So that's a correction on that point. But yeah, I really am enjoying this. Like, I've seen like about five episodes of it so far. I got the previews for it. I'm really, really enjoying it. It has a great kind of sense of, like, adventure and scale to it. So, yeah, definitely worth the watch.
So that's on Amazon Prime?
It is.
Okay, and actually, because this is the hard part too, you kind of want stuff that has maybe at least two seasons, so you've got a lot to sit down and
correct
watch.
Yeah,
which we mightn't have for everything, but we do have for the next show as well, because Disney's Only Murders in the Building is back again for a fourth season.
Yeah, and what's going on in this one is, if you don't know about it already, it's basically, it's these three people, Steve Martin, Martin Short and Selena Gomez. They are true crime podcasters in New York. This is now in the fourth season. The podcast has become so popular that it's now being turned into a film in the TV show.
I love this.
Yeah.
Like real life stuff.
Yeah, and not only that as well, but you have Zach Galifianakis from The Hangover, Eugene Levy from Take Your Pick, American Pie, and then Eva Longoria. And they're playing themselves, but they're playing the characters from
the show.
Yeah, so it's them trying to, like, Zach Galifianakis trying to figure out Martin Short's, like, speech rhythm, and Eva Longoria is like, well, I've been aged up because, you know, it looks a bit weird, somebody your age hanging around with a bunch of old lads and stuff like that. But then on top of that, they've got to solve a murder, because each season of it, it's a new murder that happens in the building. You would think four seasons in, this would be getting a bit tired. Quite the opposite. It's actually become more smarter, more funny. The fact that they're able to kind of draw big talent, like last season, they had Paul Rudd and Meryl Streep in the cast.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. And then there's the whole rumours that apparently Martin Short and Meryl Streep are dating. They've denied it, but it looks pretty obvious that they're dating, which I think is great. But yeah, so Meryl Streep comes back into it for this season, but she's only in it for a couple of episodes. If you like murder mysteries, if you loved like Murder, She Wrote or something like that, you are going to absolutely eat this up.
Okay, so fantastic. So that is on Disney Plus and that's out right now. And
that's right now.
So much to binge on that. Batman movie was a huge hit. And we had the unrecognisable Colin Farrell as the Penguin. Just have a listen to this because this is outrageous.
What is it you're really after, Oz?
Gonna tear down the empire from the inside out.
Whoever controls the drug business controls the streets.
I'll be running the whole damn trade.
This city is meant to be yours, sweetheart. What are you gonna do to get it?
Trust me. It's just the beginning.
That gets you a bit giddy there now.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, really and truly. What's he got in store for us?
So they are trying to, I'm not saying they're trying to, but this definitely does take a lot of inspiration, I would say, from The Sopranos. Again, it's this idea of a mob boss in a city. It's about him trying to kind of dominate Gotham through crime and all the rest of it. The real surprise in this is Kristen Milioti. Now, you might not know her. You probably know her from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
The final season of it. And she was in like Fargo as well, the first season of that. She is brilliant in this. She plays this kind of recently paroled crime boss from Arkham Asylum. And she's like this massive serial killer who killed like six people. Basically, she's terrifying. Absolutely.
Really?
And it's so weird as well to see kind of like a female character played this intensely.
Yeah.
This violently and all the rest of it. I would say if you are squeamish, you were saying you're a bit squeamish, I probably would stay away from this because it's very, very violent, very dark. But if you like the Batman, if you like the idea of, you know, a straightforward crime series but set in that universe, this is your go-to, I think.
Where can we watch this?
This will be on Sky Atlantic. I think it started already, I think. Or no, sorry, it's starts September 19th on Now TV and Sky Atlantic, and it's going to run until November 10th.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
This one might get me in trouble, but there seems to be a new Star Wars something or other out every single week. What is different about the one that's coming this winter?
Okay, so this one is called Skeleton Crew. This is essentially the Goonies if it was set in the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
And that's really kind of what they're trying to go for. They're trying to go for more sort of family-friendly kind of stuff. Like, I mean, you had The Acolyte, and I liked it, but a lot of people had problems with it. There was Andor as well, which was very sort of, you know, politically murky and, you know, kind of about terrorism and stuff like that. And there was a whole prison break thing. Skeleton Crew, though, is very much family-friendly, Amblin kind of thing. Jude Law is in it. He plays this Jedi that takes these, that finds this ship that these kids have found, and they go off on an adventure. So yeah, think Goonies but set in space.
Okay, fantastic. Once said Jude Law, I was like, oh yeah, no, now I know exactly.
No,
what
now
is.
You know. What
yeah,
you're
no,
for.
Now,
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Now we're going with it. Okay, that's our nights in sorted. But what about like the cinema? Like Demi Moore has got something pretty mad coming out with The Substance. Let's have a little listen to this.
One single injection unlocks your DNA and will release another version of yourself. This is The Substance, a perfect balance of 7 days each. The one and only thing not to forget. You are one. You can't escape from yourself.
There's been a slight misuse of the substance.
Okay.
Right.
That.
It's. I will freely admit, I have not yet seen this film. I'm going to see it next week.
Okay.
But I am gagging for this.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see this. What's going on in this is Demi Moore plays a faded celebrity starlet who is, her age and her physical beauty is starting to leave her slightly. She comes across this special substance, essentially, that she can inject herself with. And this completely rejuvenated younger version of herself, played by Margaret Qualley, who you'd know from Kinds of Kindness, Andy McDowell's daughter. She then suddenly appears and is more youthful, has all the experience and memories of Demi Moore, but just looks like her now. So then she, you know, restarts her modeling career, restarts her acting career, gets it all back. But she can only stay in that young body for so long before bad things start to happen. it's kind of like a horror film. It is a horror film, pretty much, except it's all about, you know, beauty standards and, you know, Hollywood's obsession with youth and vigor and all the rest of it. And the fact that it's Demi Moore, because obviously, you know, Demi Moore in the 80s and 90s was this famous beauty. Mm-hmm. She's been very open about the fact that she has had work done and all the rest of it, and that she's trying to preserve it. For her to make a film like this that's so on the nose and is so driving at something in her own sort of public persona, I think is really, really interesting. It's meant to be brilliant. Like I said, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hearing brilliant reviews about it. This is going to be one of the most talked about films of the year, I would guess.
I am, like, it's that trailer, it, like, really hooked me in. And again, I know I said, like, I'm screaming onto her, but this kind of yes, like, let's, like, sign me up.
Just on, like, the idea of, like, beauty standards and, like, and it being approached in a way. And, like, I mean, it's a female director and female writer and all the rest of it, so it is coming from a unique perspective, you know, that sort of, it's not just the sort of standard male gaze stuff. Like, it actually does have something to say about, you know, obsession with, you know, youth and beauty and how that is ultimately a corrosive thing for society in general.
You're going to see it next week. Do we know when it's actually coming out in the cinema?
Yeah, I do indeed. Yeah, it is out on September 20th.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic. That's not too far away, actually.
That's not too far away.
Fantastic.
No, yeah.
Right, we're all involved in this.
Yeah, yeah.
The last one. We have time for one more big screen job, and you've gone big with this one. Why are you looking forward to Megalopolis?
Right. So it's directed by Francis Ford Coppola, who, if you don't know, directed Apocalypse Now, The Godfather Trilogy, basically one of the titans of modern cinema as we know it. The cast is huge as well. You have Adam Driver, Giancarlo Esposito, Shia LaBeouf, Dustin Hoffman, John Voight.
Jesus.
Huge cast. Yeah, massive, massive cast. And Francis Ford Coppola actually sold off parts of his... He owns like a load of wineries now and stuff like that. Him and his daughter, Sofia Coppola. He sold off parts of his wine empire just to fund this film because he wanted to see it made. There's been massive amounts of controversy around this film. There was a trailer released a couple of weeks ago where they used fake quotes from critics. There's been on-set drama as well. Apparently Adam Driver has had issues with it. There's all sorts of drama around this film. The reason why I want to see it is I have to see where this ends. Like, I've got to see what all this buzz is about. It may be terrible. I don't know. I mean, from the reviews I've read so far, people are saying, like, it's a work of demented genius.
Okay.
It's absolutely nuts. You've never seen anything like it. There's one point in the film where Adam Driver, and I don't know how they're going to do this, but in the screening of it, the first screening of it, there's a part in it where a person, literally a person, like you and me, walks out in front of the screen and starts talking to the screen. And then Adam Driver literally turns around. Yeah, I know you're all looking bewildered. Adam Driver literally looks down at the person and starts having a back and forth conversation with him.
Honestly, Ryan, this is nothing new.
It's nuts. No. I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
I went to see the Spice Girls movie when I was 7 and Victoria Beckham was absolutely telling me I had a lovely dress in the crowd. So I'm just saying.
Right, yeah, that's it. Breaking the fourth wall. Yeah. Think that, but like an entire scene where there's a dude like, or just some random person at the top of the screen just talking to the screen.
This is outrageous because they'll have to do that in every single screen.
They're going to have to do that in every screen and we're like, how? And like we've all the film critics are like, how are they going to manage this? Oh. Is it going to be like somebody from the studio is going to come out and do it? Is it somebody from the cinema is going to do it? Are they going to cut it out?
And then, sorry, I have so many questions for this because then how important is it to the movie for when it goes to, like, I say DVD, but when it comes to streaming services, eventually when we watch it at home, are they going to be able to cut that out?
I don't know.
Are we going to have to learn the scripts? Will we know exactly what's going on? So many questions here.
So many questions. I think personally they're going to have to cut it out.
Yeah.
But if they do cut it out, that's losing some of the madness in this film. Because this film is nuts.
The rest of it is obviously as nuts.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, so that is one that's kind of on the fence, but we are really looking forward to seeing The Substance in the cinemas, and that comes out on the 20th of September. Brian Lloyd, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us today. You'll be back with us again next month to tell us why we've got a season of sequels in the cinema.
Yeah, so many, like Joker, Folie à Deux.
Stop ruining it now.
No, I'm not,
stop
I'm just saying, that's the big one though.
Well, we actually can't wait, okay? I will be right back after this.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.